Welcome back to another broadcast of the Word for Life radio program. With me in the studio is the co-host of the broadcast, Dr. Les Olala, Chancellor at Northland International University. And Doc, here we are back in the studio with a cup of coffee and a great topic that we have been exploring together now. We're in our second broadcast in our new series, Cultivating a Successful Life. And you spent really the first broadcast talking to us about one word in Psalm 1. And we noted that obviously Psalm 1 is like the gateway to the psalm. You were talking about Psalm 1 being really the first place in the Old Testament where God gives us such a clear picture of these parallel paths, twos. The Sermon on the Mount you were observing, Jesus gave pictures in twos, two ways, two gates, two trees. Well, this is the first time in the Old Testament where we have that. And what's presented to us in very clear contrast are two kinds of people, people that are blessable and people that aren't. And that's what we've been talking about. And maybe for just a minute, it would be worth your while to remind us about blessability. What do you mean by blessability?
I see blessability in that the word blessed there, it could be said, oh, the blessednesses, the multiple blessednesses or blessings that God can pour out to this type of person. And there is a negative aspect, and then there's a positive aspect of that walk. And the blessability we're talking about is not that we're going to have a right position in life and a good income in life. Those things may follow. But these are dealing with inner qualities of the heart. These are dealing with choices that are made that all end in consequences. Mm-hmm. But the choices that we make have to be based upon a truth base, not upon my own personal feeling, because I end up with what the last three verses of this psalm would describe as the wicked. Mm-hmm. What would happen in that context?
It's interesting when you look at Psalm 1, and we're going to get into the first part of it today, there are just a whole lot of different ways that people have looked at Psalm 1 and kind of tried to analyze it. But virtually everybody says you can divide the psalm into these two parts. This is the man that walks with God, and this is the man that walks with himself. Or this is the man that is obedient, this is the man that is disobedient. And, you know, literally looking at verse 1, here's a man that is blessable, and here's his approach to sin. Here's his approach in verse 2 to Scripture. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Here's his approach to service. He's going to be like a faithful tree, and he's going to be fruitful. How do you divide it up? How do you look at Psalm 1 and put it into some kind of a handle for us to grab onto?
Well, I have about three different outlines that I have used and preached. The one we will go through will be, he is perceptive in his walk. Who is a blessable person? He is prepared in the word. He is planted in the way. He is prosperous in his work. I've also preached he is separated from the world, saturated by the word. Then he is situated by the water and successful in his walk. Because the water there talks about being planted, being productive, being perennial, being prosperous. But I'd like us to focus on an outline. If you're taking notes on this, the first portion of this is a blessable person is perceptive in his walk. That is, he is very wise in what he chooses and how he chooses to go. We could also say he is separated from certain things.
Yeah, that wisdom will give you that perception.
Right. And so, first of all, why don't you read verse 1 and see what is there, and then let's take it apart.
The psalmist begins by observing that the blessed man is someone who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you really have three descriptions of this man that are somewhat progressive, it seems.
Yeah, you have walk, stand, sit. So first of all, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. In other words, he follows right advice. So who is a blessable person? What does his perception lead him to? To separate himself from counsel that is ungodly counsel. How would you define ungodly?
Well, you know, it's interesting. You were talking about the walk, stand, and sit. You have the same kind of idea in the people that he's separating from. A perceptive man who is blessed of God and who wants to be blessable is going to have to keep his distance from certain kind of people. And you have the first kind of person is an ungodly person. And then the next kind of person is a sinner. And the third kind of person is a scorner. And there seems to be a progression there. And I don't know that I'm making too much of this. I hope not. But it seems that to me, an ungodly person, that word ungodly, is somebody who may believe that God exists, but for all practical purposes, there isn't a God for him. He may even mentally argue that there is a God. He may talk to you about God. But if you look at his life, he doesn't give God one thought about anything. He just does his own thing, and then, oh, yeah, I got to go to church on Sunday. An ungodly person is someone who lives as though there were no God.
Yeah, his whole manner of living is such that God is absented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the psalm that says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, literally. He is not denying the existence of God. He is saying, no God for me.
Right.
I am my God.
Right.
I am the one who calls these signals. So it's very much of a warning. Who will be my close associates? Not who will be my work partner, not who will be the carpool people with whom I drive, but who will become my close associates?
Who's going to be able to shape my life?
Yeah, who will be the shaper of my life? And we are warned to be perceptive when there is a person where God is absented from his decisions, absented from his life. You can discern by the way he lives and chooses and acts that God is absented from that. And so don't follow that advice.
You know, it's interesting. You know, you read culture magazines today, you know, or you start, you know, everybody talks about the power of the evangelical movement and all of these tens of millions of people in our country that are the evangelical people. And yet, if you look at a lot of these people, the only time they think about God is on Sunday morning. But they don't ever think about God during the work week. Their business practices aren't at all factoring in God or who he is like or what he is like. And I think that's really what we're talking about. It's talking about even among the people of God who would name God as their God, but who just don't live at all as though he matters. David Wells, and I know you've read David Wells. He had that book, God in the Wasteland, I
think.
Mm-hmm. He describes people who look at God and God has absolutely no weight in their life. You know, and he describes these people in terms of looking at God and not even caring that he said any commands or that he has any ideas or any observations about life. And he said it this way. He said, we have become children of a lightweight God who rests lightly on our soul.
Well, that certainly is crystallizing that thought that God is not running my life.
And we're to stay away from people like that.
We have to have enough perception and discernment that that person is not going to direct my thinking.
Right.
But every person carries an atmosphere about him.
Mm-hmm.
And if I stay in that atmosphere of the ungodly long enough, I am soon going to take on the thinking because I become saturated with that atmosphere and I will soon become like that individual. And you can have a friendship without becoming like. But when I start following the advice of that person, that's when I get into trouble.
Right, exactly. And I think that's the key, that God is saying a person who is blessable is going to be perceptive, and he's not going to let people who act like there isn't a God in their life give advice or shape their soul. But there's a second thing in here. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. What is that about?
Well, you see the progression and the parallelisms that are here. There is a person who is going in the way where he says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners. Now suddenly his path has slowed down. He is walking along, and soon he will find himself standing. Not only is he now walking in conjunction with, he is now standing in the place, and advice turns into action. And he is standing in the way of sinners.
Yeah, he's found a place here now.
Yes. And that placement that has come has affected the actions that he has done. So consequently, the reaping of that way is going to be, Galatians says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Mm-hmm. For whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. You sow to the flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. Sow to the spirit, you shall of the spirit reap life everlasting.
You know, it's almost like you have a guy and he's walking pretty quickly through this place, and all of a sudden he hooks up with some people who don't have God in their life, and he slows down to listen to them. And the next thing you know, he has now found a place here, and he's going to start acting like them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. How would you contrast an ungodly person in the first part who gives counsel to a sinner who is in the way. How would you differentiate sinner from ungodly here?
Well, I think sinner in this context may not be a different person, but it's pointing to a different aspect. And the point that I think is coming up, the word sin means to miss God's mark. So this is a person who is consistently demonstrating in their life a pattern of disobedience to God or missing God's mark of righteousness or not meeting God's expectation nor caring to.
Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is the actions are taken on.
Yeah, exactly.
So we see the counsel of the ungodly, that's the advice, turns into the way of sinners, which turns into the action. I actually become living as a lifestyle like that. And then what is the third one here?
Well, he doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. That now is my position.
Right.
I chose a path, I found a place, and now I'm establishing a position.
Yeah. See, Lot lifted, Lot chose, and Lot pitched. So he looked, got advice, turned into action, became a lifestyle. He literally now was sitting at the gate mm-hmm. of the city as a leader in a very wicked, the most wicked city mm-hmm. in the world. That is the attitude that I take on.
Yeah, and that scorner is somebody who actually knows that God exists and hates him.
Yes.
And rejects him and mocks his values and mocks his word.
A good parallel study of this would be go through the book of Proverbs this month
mm-hmm.
and mark every time fool, scorner, simple, all of these who are mentioned in there and see what should be our relationship to those people in those contexts. In the seat of the scornful, in other words, becomes a very mocking. You know, scorning comes in a lot of different ways. I remember when I was down in a church down south where we pastored. And the previous pastor had come under criticism. And he had made a statement that was not a wrong statement, but these people were looking for reasons to pick. And this one guy asked me, he said, "Can you think of anything worse than what that pastor said?" I said, "Oh, yes, I can." And I said, Psalm chapter 1 and verse 1 talks about that. The seat of a scornful. I said, I think the person sitting in the seat of a scorner is a lot worse than what you think he said, because we can look at a very scornful type mentality. But I think in this immediate context, it is talking about scorning the very truth of God. And I begin living with the attitude of the ungodly because I followed their advice. I have taken on their actions. Now I have adopted the attitude. It has literally saturated my inner man.
It's who I am now.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Doc, as we continue our study in the first Psalm. All of the broadcasts in this series are on our website, www.thewordforlife.org. Until then, may the Lord bless you.